Whatever you read your Bible on, nowadays you can't just say one thing. I ask that you open them up to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 30 through 44. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to go back and there's some real practical things I want you to see. And before I read it, I want to remind you of the context. In the context, Jesus has just sent out his apostles. And the word apostle means sent ones. They're missionaries. He's just sent them out, and they're coming back to give a report. But also, they have just discovered that John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, has been executed. And so as we pick up this morning, you have both joy from a missionary journey and sadness because a loved one had been killed. So picking up in verse 30, it says this: the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of him. Jesus saw the crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and they said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. And here's the part I love. But Jesus said, you feed them. With what? They asked. That reply reminds me of me. With what? And then it says, we'd have to work for months, 8 months to be exact, to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Jesus said, how much bread do you have? Go and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. An incredible ministry that this miracle describes to me what First Baptist needs to be all about. We live in a beautiful community, one of the most beautiful communities I've ever lived in. We have people, we have wonderful people. But one of the things we need to understand, it's our responsibility to feed the people. Sometimes that's physically, sometimes that's spiritual. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But what can you learn? What can you take from this story about the feeding of the 5,000. Well, first of all, don't miss this. Quality time with Jesus is essential. These apostles had just returned. They were excited. They had gone on this missionary journey. They had a lot to share with Jesus about what they experienced. But they also were sad because I'm sure they had all heard about John the Baptist being beheaded. And as they came together, it must have been a strange meeting of both happiness and sadness. But in verse 31, Jesus realized what every one of us need to realize, and then it's this. We need to be alone with Jesus to be able to do effective ministry. Verse 31, it says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. You know, we just came off the summer break. In the summer in our church, we unapologetically have fun. Beginning Wednesday, it's all business. We will have kids here. We will feed them physically. We will feed them spiritually. And it's hard work. It costs a lot of money to do what we do on Wednesday nights. Exactly about $4,500 just to feed them with what the people give when they come to eat on Wednesday nights. So in the summer, we do fun stuff. We played bingo this summer. We watched the Jesus movie. We just kind of reconnected with each other, because here's one of the things I've learned. I'm 63 now, but I've learned this. For your people to be effective in doing ministry, they have to take care of themselves. And there are times when we need to come together and we need to be together to encourage each other, to have fun, to laugh. Do you know how many churches never laugh? It's just important to get away. And Jesus said to this group of men, he says, hey, we need to get away. And they got in a boat, and their whole plan was to get off to a quiet place. He says, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Alone with who? Jesus. And one of the things we need to understand as Christians, if we're going to be effective in ministry, every single one of us who are Christians need to be sure that we're spending quality time alone with Jesus. Now, in this situation, they were a group of men and they were going to the other side of the lake. But let me tell you what I do every day, and it makes a difference in my life. Every morning, between 6 and 7 o'clock, I get alone with Jesus. It's nothing mystical. I get coffee first. Jesus speaks better to me with coffee. Okay, it's right to smile. I drink my coffee. I open God's Word. And I say this little prayer nearly every time. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And last week, you know where I was all week? And Tristan, if you want a good leadership study, go to the book of Nehemiah. And all week, last week, I was in Nehemiah. Every single morning, I'd get along, and I would open up God's Word, and I'd say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then I have a journal, and in that journal, I jot down what I need to do. Not what I need to know, what I need to know and do. And then when I finish writing that down, I go to my time where I talk to God, and I praise Him, and I confess my sins, and I thank Him. And then I pray my request, and I pray for my family, I pray for my church, I pray for my wife, I pray for my schools. That takes place every morning when I'm alone with Jesus. Listen, if you will spend time alone with Jesus on a daily basis, Sundays will be better. I just promise you that. And what you will find is that you get strength and you get encouragement, and you're able to face whatever comes your way. And so many Christians, they're worn out spiritually, but they're not getting alone with Jesus. And so that's the first thing I would say, is to do effective ministry, to feed the thousands, to have the miracles that God wants to do in your church, in your life, you got to get along with Jesus. You just have to spend time with Him. But there's a second thing that's so important for us as Christians, especially in Mount Ida. We need to see people like Jesus sees them. See, the people ran ahead. They beat Jesus to the other side. So when Jesus got off the boat, it was church. And he was tired of church. He needed to be alone. But when he looked out, it says in verse 34, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Listen, if you're going to be effective in ministry, whether you're teaching at school like my wife or these other teachers, or whether you're a member of a church, here's what you've got to do. It makes all the difference in the world. You have to see people the way Jesus sees them. You see, you might see someone on Wednesday nights. We have all kinds of kids come to our church. They're the ones that a lot of times get kicked out of other churches, to be quite honest. And when I see them, I don't go, there's a loser, there's a kid that's no good. You know what I see? I see a kid that needs a shepherd. I see a kid that needs a shepherd named Jesus Christ. Because here's what we know. If you don't have a shepherd and you're a sheep, you scatter. You don't go where you're supposed to go. You're in trouble. And so when Jesus looked at these people who were coming to him, he didn't go, oh, crud, they found me. No, he said, there are some people who need a shepherd. And look what he did. So he began teaching them many things. He began teaching them many things. Listen, you teach with your life. You teach with your attitude. And I just love this because I want us to be the kind of church. We don't see people as they are without Jesus. We see people as they can be with Jesus. We see people not as failures in life, but as people who need Jesus in their life. Listen, how you see people will determine how you treat them. And when I look at these kids, when I look at adults, because there's a lot of adults in our community as well, who are different than me, what I have is compassion. That word compassion means you literally hurt on the inside. I don't have anger. I have compassion. I know that if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus Christ, I would be that kid or that adult. It's the only reason I can even stand here halfway decent is because of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in my life. And it's because he's the shepherd of my life. And so what I want to challenge you to do is to see difficult people as people who need a shepherd. To see difficult people, and even those people who totally disagree with you, who don't like you, don't like Christianity, look at those people and don't go, there's the enemy. There's somebody that needs a shepherd. It changes how you treat people. It changes how you look at people. And we need to be like that. We need to have the eyes of Jesus, and we need to see people as people who need a shepherd. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. So this Wednesday night, when they start to come in, when we have difficult people come into our life at work, wherever you may be, look at them with the eyes of Jesus and see if that makes a difference. The next thing is, he says, you feed them. Jesus commanded them to feed the people. Because here's the problem. There were so many people that the disciples were overwhelmed. And they were just like me. Look what it says in verse, I believe it says in verse 35. I'm not sure if it's 35, I wrote it down though. They say, this is a remote place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. Those apostles, those disciples are just like me. Lord, it's time to send them home. There's too many of them. It's beyond what we can do. But did you notice what Jesus said? You feed them. You feed them. And then the Bill Ashburn reply, with what? Do you realize this last year we spent over $4,000 on Wednesday night meals? But I don't regret a single penny of it. You can't feed someone spiritually if they're hungry. And some of the kids that come on Wednesday nights, this is one of the best meals of the week. Especially when old Bob works his magic with breakfast for dinner. It's one of the worst meals for my health that we have during the week. But those kids come and they eat. And we have a rule that no one has to pay. There's some adults that come and that meal is a good meal for them. And we could, you know, make all kinds of excuses, but our church has stepped up and said, we'll do it. We do it. We feed them. Now, the natural, with what, they asked, we have to work for 8 months to earn enough money to feed all these people. And Jesus said, you feed them. See, whatever you think you can do in your own strength is what you have to do in the strength of Jesus. And I believe as a church, we are commanded to feed people physical food when needed, but also spiritual food. As a matter of fact, we are commanded as the church not to attend church, but to make disciples. We are to make disciples. It says in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Only one command in that passage, make disciples. And then he gives three participles that describe how you do that. He says, as you're going, as you're baptizing, and as you're teaching. And I love that last part, because the last part it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. I mean, our church has the responsibility to teach these kids and adults alike God's Word. We didn't create a new children's building, and I haven't said a whole lot about that, but you need to go see it. We didn't create a children's building to go, oh, it's real pretty, or a youth area to go, oh, it's real nice. No, we created that to give us a place to teach kids, teenagers, and even adults in our church how to live for Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about attending church. It's about teaching people, equipping people to live for Christ. That's the second thing. We are to equip people. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it talks about some are apostles, some are pastor teachers. My gift is pastor teacher. And it says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You see, my job, I try so hard. I want you to do God's work. I don't want you to know God's work. If you know God's work and you don't do God's work, you're not doing God's will. And so I want to equip. And that word equip is a word that means to fix a net, to set a bone that is broken. And that is one of the things we try to do. We do it two main times. We do it Sunday morning and Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, I'll begin a new series for adults called Living with Margins. And we're going to talk about how to be sure your life is got margins. Because if you don't have margins, you will have burnout and you're not going to be the person God wants you to be. And I'm going to do that in here. I'll be working with the youth as well. And there's just a lot of good things we do on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That's it. Those are our two main times where we equip people. This morning, my Sunday school class, we had 22 adults there. And we talked about be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It was the most practical thing, whether you're married or have children or just exist. And it's to equip people to be what God wants them to be. But then there's a third thing, and I love this. Do you love Jesus? John chapter 21, I love it. He's just had breakfast for the disciples. Did you miss that? It says, after breakfast, what did Jesus fix for breakfast? Fish. That's the worst thing I can think of for breakfast. Fish. What'd you have for breakfast? Fish and biscuits. That's just nasty. Okay, I love fish, but not at breakfast. Okay? But in verse 15, it says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Look what he says. Then feed my sheep. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked him the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And look what he said. Then feed my sheep. Listen, the church is to be a feeding institution. spiritual food. Physical food sometimes, but spiritual food. It's a place where we help people learn to understand God's Word, and we will be blessed when we feed the sheep. So, you feed them. And then the fourth thing, give Jesus all your resources. How much bread do you have? And they said, I don't know. And he said, go and find out. And then they come back, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they said, Jesus, this is all we got. He said, give it to me. And he did the miracle. Let me tell you something. It started over 2 years ago when a lady in our church named Betty Prince said, Bill, come see me at the nursing home. And she said, Bill, I have some money I want to give to the church to do whatever they need to do. And I said, well, we need some, our children and youth area is pretty bad. And pre-COVID, we had a fortune. And then COVID hit. And everything skyrocketed and everything was difficult. And there came a point during that journey where I just got kind of discouraged. And I thought, oh man, we'll be lucky to turn the lights on. The money went a lot quicker. And if you've done any building, you'll know about that. But let me tell you, several miracles took place. One I'll just share with you. I have a good friend from my church in Texas. And he called me one day, and I was feeling kind of blue, thinking, where are we going to get this money? He said, Ashburn, do you need any money at your church? Now, how many times do you have someone call you up and say, do you need any money at your church? And I said, well, yeah, we've been hit hard by COVID, and everything's more expensive. He goes, well, does Franklin need any money in the Dominican Republic? I said, well, yeah, I'm sure he can use it too. So, well, good. Our church has too much money. We have money in a building fund we're not using. And I came into some extra money. I'm going to write you a check. And it was for several thousand and send it immediately. Then I had a brother who called me and said, you need any extra money? I said, well, we could use some for our building. Wrote a check. I didn't advertise it. You know what I decided? Is when you just do what you're supposed to do and trust God that He provides. He just does. And He did that over and over again. And in this story, He told the disciples, He says, hey, just bring what you have. Bring 5 loaves, 2 fish, and just bring it to me. And they did that, and He fed a multitude. You see, the problem is we make so many excuses about why we can't do things that we don't trust Jesus to be able to do what we can't do. That's true. Now, I hate to share this, but we want to redo this whole part over here next. I don't know how. We want to knock that wall out and have a little foyer area to have meeting and all that. You say, Bill, where's the money come from? I don't know yet. God's got to send it. But I know we're talking about moving the offices over here and doing that. Why? Because we're not here to be a bank and collect money. We're here to feed sheep. This is like a big barn where we store the grain to feed the people when they come in. So yeah, understand that a little is a lot in His hands. Less is more when it's in His hands. And then the last thing is this, and I'm done. Celebrate His miracle. And we've had so many things going on today. We're trying to celebrate so many things. But I really want you to go see the youth building, the children's building, and to see what God has done. It's something to celebrate. You go upstairs, it's painted, it's new rooms, it's you name it. It's beautiful. God did that. God did that. We need to celebrate it. But like my wife said, as soon as we got it completed, she looked at me and she says, we need to fill it up. We need to fill it. A building is no good unless it's full. Buildings, who cares? People is what we care about. So, As we start the school year this week, Wednesday night, I pray that you will be here if you can. If you can't, I know some of you can't. That's okay. If you can help, if you can volunteer, we always can use it. But if nothing else, pray for God to do a miracle. Because those kids and those teenagers and those adults, they're a gift. We need to feed them. And that's what I plan to do. I'm going to do my part, and I know our children and adults will do their part. We just need to pray, and we need to bring the people. You feed them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that you would be with us and help us as we journey this new school year to help Tristan and the Mount Ida School District to be all that it can be. We can pray, but we can also support. We try to do that because we love our community. Father, I just pray that our church would be on fire for you because you change lives. And Father, I just thank you that they're here this morning. And I thank you that we can go eat now and have a good time and celebrate what you've already done. And Lord, I pray that everybody will look at the building, to look at the areas, to see what you have done at First Baptist Mount Ida. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.